The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, human. I'm Valerie Bayless, a member of this congregation. On behalf of Reverend Dave Dunn, Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi T. Brown, Music Director, Alex Peach, my fellow worship associates, and the dedicated technical team making today's live stream possible, I would like to welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call Human. We are a liberal faith community with a mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. Today, we'd like to acknowledge that today is World Religions Day, celebrated on the third Sunday of every January. It's a reminder of the need for harmony and understanding between religious and faith systems. On this day, communities of different faiths have the opportunity to get together and listen to each other, as well as celebrate the differences and commonalities that the delicate intermingling of culture and religion. No matter who you are, who you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. If you are visiting us for the first time, please feel free to scan the QR code on the back of your printed order of worship or on the greeters table in the foyer to get in touch. All ages are welcome in service. There is a fidget shelf for children of all ages located in the back corner of the sanctuary, and nursery care is available in Fellowship Hall. Religious exploration for children and youth takes place today at 11:15 in Discovery Hall. And the schedule for the next several weeks into mid-February is in your printed order of worship. Today's second hour adult enrichment offerings are also listed in your order of worship. Human's annual talent show is this coming Saturday, January 27th at 7 p.m. The opening act is not to be missed. At least that's what people say. In the past, we've had appearances from Michael Jackson, Bruno Mars, and the cast of The Greatest Showman. Who will make an appearance this year? You'll have to come to Human's Talent Show again this Saturday at 7 p.m. to find out. Tickets are $10 per adult. Youths and children are free. Please see Reverend Dave or Elizabeth Rohan for more information, and check your email if you're interested in perhaps bringing snacks for the event. And our next UU 101 course is being offered during second hour today and next Sunday, January 28th. All are welcome to attend. And finally, the Human Chili Cook-Off will be held on Saturday, February 4th, starting at noon, immediately after the second hour classes. Talk to Mike Chambers, Jane Sewell, or a greeter for more information. This month's 50-50 recipient is No Harm. half of any checks specifically designated to 50/50, and half of any Givelify donations specifying 50/50 will go to No Harm. And there's a brief description of No Harm.
Good morning. Welcome all into this sanctuary, into this place of refuge. Let us leave our assumptions and old ways of being at the door, and let us be open to seeing things in a new way. And may you this morning, right now, at this moment, begin to rediscover your truest self. Your truest self that is inseparable and interrelated to all diversity and to all that is. And may this be the day, the very first day, that you and I and we together begin building a new way. And now let us light our chalice together.
By Jennifer Grayson. We come together every week, bound not by a creed, a mutual desire to please. Yet we are drawn together by a belief that how we are in the world, who we are together, matters. We light this chalice together in the knowledge that love, not fear, can change the world.
I had a story in mind to tell, but I kind of forgot it. I just have an outline. So it begins like this. Once upon a time, what? Somebody, give me something. There was a fairy princess, okay? Every day, she went to the store. Yes, it's coming to me. But one day, the store was closed. And because of that, she went to human. And because of that, she got the eggs that she was looking for. And because of that, she joined the choir. Until finally, she made an omelet. And ever since then, She had egg on her face. Okay, that's a good story. That's a good story. I have another one, and it goes just like this. Once upon a time, give me something. There was a bear. And every day, he would go out and eat honey. But one day, there were no more bees. And because of that, the what? The world ended. And because of that, we joined the choir. And started growing native plants until finally the bees came back. And ever since then, we've been singing baritone. Okay. Look at these stories you're making. I'm gonna publish these, make a lot of money on it. So we're gonna come back. Well, keep these stories in mind, because you created these stories. So thank you for that. place where we're supposed to be? Is this our home? Or are we trapped here by mistake? Is this existence the existence we're supposed to be living? Or is there some other existence we're supposed to be living? Is this place even real? Or is it imaginary? These sound like very strange questions. Why? Because of course we live here. Everyone, past or present, has always lived here in this place. And Dave, what do you mean by asking us, is this the existence we're supposed to be living? What kind of question is that? Yes, I acknowledge. They sound like very strange questions. Yet, if some alien being came down to Earth and studied us, our history, our culture, our way of being, and learn our behavior, that alien being might ask us those very questions. Earthling, are you saying that this place is not your home? Do you feel like you're trapped here by mistake, separated from your true existence? For Socrates, the divine madness of love, like falling in love, was to be especially prized. Why? Because to him, that was the one feeling that took us out of our bodies in this temporal, sensual world. It reminded us, that feeling of love, it reminded us, according to him, of an eternal realm of perfect forms and ideas. As Plato, a student of Socrates didn't write anything down. Plato did all the writing. Plato, student of Socrates, writes in the Phaedo, which is a work of his, "Our bodies are prisons for the soul, whose real home is above in another world, and that our souls began their existence without bodies, contemplating the perfect forms and ideas, but, quote, fell into real bodies when they got lazy or undisciplined." So for Socrates and Plato, this place was to be transcended. There's a famous painting in the Vatican by Raphael called The School of Athens. And in that painting, there are many philosophers, artists, mathematicians, and scientists depicted in that painting. We have Pythagoras is there, Archimedes, Heraclitus, Zarathustra, and they're all like doing their work. I'd like to think of like Homer Simpson being in there, like eating a donut, okay? So if you see that painting, I've probably ruined the painting for you. You'll always see Homer Simpson in there eating a donut. But anyway, central to the painting are Aristotle and Plato. Aristotle was a student of Plato. And in that painting, Aristotle has his hand out with his palm down to the earth. He disagreed with Plato. He thought, no, this world. And Plato in the painting is pointing upward. Like this, no, we belong up there in some other world. Now, prior to the settling of Orthodox Christian theology at the Council of Nicaea in the year 325, prior to that point, there were all kinds of different threads and flavors of Christianity going about the Holy Land, the Middle East, trying to explain what the life of this man, Jesus of Nazareth, meant. There were all these different versions of Christianity. That's why Emperor Constantine said, can we have just one of these things? And that's why he convened this Council of Nicaea. But prior to that point, there's all these different flavors of Christianity. And one thread were the Gnostics. Actually, there were many different kinds of Gnostic Christians. They believed some different things, but generally they held one thing in common, that this place was not our home, that we are not supposed to be here, and that there were secret teachings, that those who were able to interpret the secret teachings, those with gnosis, that's called Gnostics, which means knowledge. Those who had knowledge of the secret teachings would be the ones who'd be saved to transcend and get back to where we truly belong. Valentinus was an early Christian theologian. He was almost elected pope. He was born in about the year 100, but he wasn't elected pope, and he formed his own kind of Gnostic religion that lasted for like 300 years. It spread all through across North Africa and into like Asia Minor, and it lasted well after his death till about the 4th century. And like many Gnostics, he believed that this world was created in error, not created by the true God, but by like a lesser false God who disobeyed the true God. He infused this place with all of his errors. Valentinus believed that because of this grievous error, a fog of ignorance has descended upon all of us, such that this place, we don't even realize this place is imaginary. It's like the Matrix, if you've seen the movie. Like we're living in a dream world. The religion of Manichaeism began in Persia in the 3rd century CE and is still practiced today, even in parts of China, but very small. It's not really practiced that much. The Manichaeans believed that there was a cosmic struggle between good and evil, light and darkness, and that a battle occurred, and the forces of evil took the light from the place that was good and scattered about in a world of darkness, a battleground of darkness, so that all the light had been scattered into this battleground. And where is that world? Right here. This is the place. And a Manichaean's mission, I don't know how they do it, but their mission is to gather up that light that has been hidden in this place and return it to the realm of light. Now, all of these theologies, from Socrates, Plato, the Gnostics, and the Manichaeans, sound strange to us. Yet many of these very ideas were synthesized into what became standard Christian theology by someone I've talked about before, St. Augustine of Hippo. He lived in northern Africa. He himself was a Manichaean until he was in his early 20s. He was a Manichaean, and then he met St. Ambrose, who was the Bishop of Milan, who opened a door for him. Now, Christian theologian Peter Brown writes of Ambrose. He's the Bishop of Milan. One thought runs through Ambrose's preaching, that the hidden meaning of the Old Testament calls our spirits to rise and fly away into another world. For him, a man was his soul, his body merely a tattered garment. And going against his soul, a person ceased to exist. In returning to God, the soul must cast off everything else, like washing the mud off gold. Nothing else matters. Our body is only a passive instrument of the soul. And Ambrose said, the enemy is right inside you. The course of your erring is there, inside, shut up in ourselves alone. Ambrose inspired St. Augustine. He became St. Augustine. And Augustine, who was brilliant, he started to put together Plato and Ambrose and the Old Testament and even ideas of Gnostic ideas and Manichaean ideas into what became most of Christian theology. Augustine wrote Doctrines of Grace, Free Will, Good and Evil, Predestination, Original Sin. And his idea of sin is very deep. It's not even doing something bad. His idea of sin is being lost, like far. Religious scholar Philip Carey writes of Augustine, Augustine is a deep thinker, restless for those inner spaces of the self. He's not content with the way things are. He's not content
with the visible world, the visible world of ordinary earthly life. Life on earth is not quite, that's Augustine. Maybe all these theologians and philosophers are right. And I could go on and on and on here. I've been talking about, you know, Plato, Socrates, Manichaeans, and Christians, but I could go on and on about other religious traditions, completely separate, East and West, that have some of these same kinds of ideas, same kind of stories. But maybe they're right. Maybe this isn't our home. Maybe this is just a matrix-like dream world that we're in, supposed to be experiencing, and we're supposed to be experiencing some other reality from which we are estranged. Are we the only species that thinks this way? Or maybe the world around us, all the plants, is just this part of the dream and think this. My point here, though, really, is that we may not realize it, but those theologies and philosophies from this tradition that I've talked about and other traditions that sound so strange to us are really still very much here with us. And they still have a lot of influence on how we live our lives. And they still have a lot of influence on world culture today. My question to you is this. Might we be completely unaware of this backdrop? Might this sense of alienation and lost, being lost and far from home, might that be incorporated unknowingly into our psyche and possibly unknowingly be a root cause of much of our suffering in the world? Are you confident and happy that this place, can you say to yourself, I am me and I'm happy being me? Or do you feel alienated from yourself? Or do you say to yourself, I would really be better off, happier, if I were entirely different? We lay so much BS on ourselves and we don't even realize it. And it's very heavy and it weighs us down. It causes us to feel lost and alone, to feel badly about ourselves. There's a Chinese proverb that says, people in the West are always getting ready to live. And a Zen master once said, why don't you die now so that you can enjoy the rest? That's enjoying being here. Enjoy being you. Can we drop the backdrop that isn't working for us? Can we tell ourselves different new stories, stories that we write that might work better for us, that might be more helpful, that might actually work for us in the here and now? Can we give ourselves permission to do that? I hope that you can.
Anton Chekhov. They sat on a bench not far from the church, looked down on the sea, and were silent. Yalta was barely visible through the morning mist. White clouds stood motionless on the mountaintops. The leaves of the trees did not stir. The cicada called, and the monotonous, dull noise of the sea coming from below spoke of the peace of the eternal sleep that awaits us. So it had sounded before Yalta existed. So it sounded now and would go on sounding with the same dull indifference when we are no longer here. And in this constancy, in this utter indifference to the life and death of each of us, there perhaps lies hidden the pledge of our eternal salvation, the unceasing movement of life on earth, of unceasing perfection. If you thought of it, everything was beautiful in this world, everything except for what we ourselves think and do when we forget the higher goals of being and our humanity. Please join me in extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
First, I'd like to acknowledge today was Valerie's first day at being a worship associate. Well done. May you give yourself permission to drop the backdrop and tell yourself beautiful new stories of unceasing perfection. Go in peace and enjoy the rest of your life.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.